This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
Okay, a thing or two you might want to know about me. I've seen every episode of The Sopranos four times. I've seen every episode of Mad Men four times. I've seen every episode of Game of Thrones zero times. All right, okay, pump the brakes. Don't be hating on me. It's not intentional. In fact, purely unintentional, perhaps even accidental. Daenerys Targaryen, Demaryius Thomas, what the hell's the difference? Okay, enough about me. Now that that's settled, let's get down to business, the business of you cashing tickets, and business has been good. You've come to the right place. On that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Out of Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto, and we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Now, this is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. You know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Channel 83, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, RJ Bell says it every week, every day. We promise to deliver the Vegas truth to you every Saturday night. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. We dive in immediately. We don't dip our toe in the water. The Golden State Warriors in the news. They're always in the news. But DeMarcus Cousins went down. First of all, can anybody beat Golden State four times in 2 weeks? I don't think so. That's not to say it's not going to happen. But let's have a conversation. How much will the Warriors miss DeMarcus Cousins? Does that open the door? See, in this cut, RJ ruminates about how to quantify the loss of Boogie Cousins. Given the fact he's likely to miss the remainder of the playoffs, RJ aptly points out that although a player's contribution in terms of value may not be readily noticeable in the box score or highlight reel, their effect is often felt on the bottom line. And that means wins and losses, and certainly in our case, whether or not the team covers the spread. This is a pretty heavy take. Give it a listen.
What does Vegas make of the news regarding DeMarcus Cousins?
NBA analytics is yet to fully figure out how to measure the value of a player. The reason baseball has always been at the forefront of the analytics revolution, sabermetrics, is because at the heart of it, it's one pitcher against one batter. There's other factors, but that's the majority factor. But think about basketball. There's a guy maybe that doesn't make a lot of free throws. Oh, I'm sorry, a lot of shots in general. He maybe doesn't get a lot of rebounds. He maybe doesn't get a lot of assists. Well, what the heck? Sounds like he's not very valuable. But for whatever reason, maybe it's defense. Maybe he's the guy that makes the hockey assists. But his plus minus is great. So you got, for example, we'll be talking about the Raptors game. It was what, Lowry had the horrible game?
Yeah, Lowry, yep.
But his plus minus was like outstanding. In that game, it makes no sense. So I get the idea, well, over the course of a season, let's just say we've yet to crack the code, or the sabermetrics guys have yet to crack the code about how valuable a player truly is. Luckily, from the Vegas perspective, we can look at a team's performance against expectation, against the spread, and give you a pretty good idea. These numbers are going to surprise you. So when the Big Five played for Golden State, this came from pregame.com's research. Mackey headed it up. So the Big Five, Steph, Clay, Durant, Green, Cousins. 21 games this year. 13-8 against the spread. 18-3 straight up. 13-8. So that's 62%. Pretty good. When one of the Big Five didn't play, just one, only 36% against the spread. 22-38-1. So when the Big Five played for the Warriors, 62% against the spread. When they didn't, 36%. Pretty big deal, it seems, yeah, to have the Big Five. Now, a fair question would be, but Cousins, you're throwing him in the Big Five. Maybe he was interchangeable. Maybe that fifth guy didn't matter. Maybe Durant being out matters. We know Steph being out matters. But maybe Cousins doesn't matter. Well, we looked that up. When Cousins played in a game, 53% against the spread, 16 and 14. When Cousins didn't play, 37%. Mm. So it's not perfect. Like, no metric is with how much one player matters in the NBA. But the data is telling us that this Warriors team is not the same team without Boogie Cousins.
See, the Warriors appear to be the classic case of a team whose whole is better than the sum of its parts. See, that's a good thing, especially when you consider their individual parts are pretty sensational. And actually, it turns out that even though Golden State was 35-19 this year, without DeMarcus Cousins, they still managed to win multiple titles before he got there. He still matters. But I think we're having the wrong conversation. See, with Cousins out, which team might be able to exploit his loss? The Rockets did take the Warriors to 7 games last season. So could it be Houston? Maybe Boston? See, I think the Celtics have the right swagger and championship DNA. And let's just take a minute to dive into this for a second. All right, so the Warriors, they're 305, minus 305 to win the West. Still a prohibitive favorite. Are they the least bit vulnerable? All right, I mentioned Houston. Well, the last 2 seasons, including the playoffs, Houston is 8-6 against the Warriors. They're actually 8-4 when Chris Paul plays. 2 of those losses, he was hurt. Harden, James Harden, has averaged 29 points per game against the Warriors. The Rockets are 4-2 on the road against the Warriors. The Rockets rank first in 4 categories, and they average 17 threes per game. I think the Rockets have the best chance. They've been the best team since the All-Star break. They're 24-5, and by the way, they're 32-10 at home. So don't poo-poo the Rockets. Am I predicting? No, I'm not, but just work with me here. How about the Celtics? Well, they're 37-1 when they lead a 2-0 series, and now they're 3-0. And I think Boston, well, I'd be curious to see that series, and I'll tell you why. Boston's got closers, man. Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward. What does that mean? When you've got closers like that, you know, you've all watched NBA games on TV, then there's a timeout and you see the aerial camera and the coach drawing up plays on the clipboard and everybody hunched over, you know, looking intently, unless you're maybe Nick Van Exel, but that's a story for a different day. And they're drawing these plays up. Then you inbound the ball and the play breaks down. And that's when you need a closer, because when you can no longer run a play because it's been broken up, now you need someone to make a play. And when a play breaks down, closers make plays. Kyrie Irving can do it. Jason Tatum can do it. Gordon Hayward can do it. I'm repeating myself. Sit tight. Let's see what happens. By the way, I just throw this out there for giggles if you want to impress your friends and when you're at Chuck E. Cheese throwing a few back. 6 times in 20 years, a home team in the playoffs blew a 20-plus point lead at home. Hink, wink, wink, nod, nod. The Warriors blew that 31-point lead. Only one of those 6 teams went on to win the championship. Just saying, just a little something there. I don't know. We'll see what happens. A couple teams that I think are frauds that really bother me. Denver, since March 24th, now we're gonna talk about them in a minute. But I give them top credit for going into San Antonio today and getting a W. There's some problematic things about them. I don't think they're really a number 2 seed. They're really not. They're fraudulent. Since March 20th, Denver's averaged 101 points per game. That's 28th in the league. Their three-point percentage is 29%. That's last in the NBA. Their field goal percentage, 44%, 27th in the NBA. It's now a 3-game series. I don't know if they're going to beat San Antonio or not, but I don't like their chances. Oklahoma City, this is a team that really starting to bother me. Worst record since the All-Star break of any team in the playoffs. Paul George, his shoulder's not right. You can see that, right? Look, Russell Westbrook continues to be an enigma. I give it up to the guy. He's a world-class athlete. He plays at 100 miles an hour. He gets his teammates involved. But here's the problem. He's a slasher. He's a mid-range guy in a league that rewards three-point shooters. Okay? In games 1 and 2, Oklahoma City shot 10 of 62 from behind the arc. Now, they play Portland tomorrow. I believe the Thunder are a 6-point favorite, correct, Sleepy?
Yes, they are.
All right, thank you. OKC, the number 5 seed against Portland, the number 3 seed. and give it up. Okay, so, you know, the Thunder had a huge second quarter to win that game. Portland hit back real hard in the third with 43 points, and it looked like they might dispatch of Oklahoma City and go up 3-0. But the thing that the problem that Portland has, they're dead middle in the NBA when it comes to team defensive efficiency, and that's just not going to get it done. That's why they give up 120 points. Oklahoma City, look, again, I'll give some credit to Russell Westbrook. He did it all in Game 3 after he called himself his play unacceptable in Game 2. He, you know, put in 33 points, had 11 assists, 12 rebounds. Paul George chipped in, but he was brutal. He had 22, but he was still brutal, hitting 3 of 16 from the floor. As a team, they shot 48%. Here's the point. Oklahoma City will probably hang on and win this series. The key difference maker here, they have the fifth best defensive efficiency in the league. By the way, OKC coming off a win, they're 27-22 against the spread. That's 56%. I actually think that OKC wins tomorrow, Sleepy, by double digits.
Let's make note of what's going on in this actual series. The home teams right now, Bernie, 3-0 ATS against the spread. So OKC will be at home. What I saw from Oklahoma City last game, Bernie, they were 31-39. They dominated the free throw line. If they could do that again, I like your play.
All right, very good. By the way, we talked about this last week. Whenever a team sweeps its opponent in the regular season, OKC swept Portland four straight in the regular season, and those two teams meet up again in the playoffs, the team that did the sweeping, a very tidy 34-3 in the playoffs, so that bodes well for the Thunder. Toronto and the Magic. Toronto laying 5.5 on the road. Still, you know, fourth best team in the league in defensive efficiency. They contain Orlando when they need to. Coming off a win, though, the Raptors haven't been great this year, Sleepy. 26-32 of the against the spread. That's 44%. Orlando, they were out-rebounded by Toronto. They turned the ball over more. Somehow in that game, that last game, Orlando got to the free throw line and made 22 of 23 free throws. I think Toronto wakes up tomorrow, flexes their muscle, Sleepy. Again, another double-digit win for the Raptors.
Yeah, you mentioned a free throw line. That's an issue here. Both teams have one major issue here, Bernie. Orlando, their big problem, they cannot score in the paint. They are like the worst team scoring in the paint. The Raptors, they can't get to the free throw line, but I think they'll even that out tomorrow. I think that, you know, Toronto will be a little bit better in that area, being obviously on the road here, but I think they'll be all right.
And as far as the other game I want to talk about tomorrow, Golden State at the Clippers, Golden State laying 8.5. They shouldn't even bother playing this at the Staples Center. They should just pitch a tent because this is a circus series. give it up to Durant. He said, you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant. And he went out and did it. 38 points on 14 of 23. I'm not so sure, though, that this game tomorrow might be another blowout. I just have a feeling it's not going to be. By the way, Sleepy, the Warriors are only 25-32 against the spread. After a win, they only cover 43% of the time. And on the season, I would not exactly say the Warriors were a cover machine. 37-47. Here's a fun fact. I bet you didn't know this. Going into this series, the Clippers and the Warriors actually held the same three-point percentage rate, success rate, 38.6, tied for second best in the league. The thing about it is there's been all this hype about this hyper-aggressive Clippers defense, you know, and Patrick Beverley and all that goofiness. The Clippers only ranked 21st in team defensive efficiency this season. Not good, but I will say this. This has me maybe taking a look at the dog for half a unit tomorrow. The Clippers are top six in the league when it comes to covering after a loss. They're 20-15 against the spread. I think Golden State wins, but I think it's going to be right around the number.
I'm not sure about that, Bernie. The last game, I mean, when you saw these teams play, obviously, you know, Kevin Durant was really upset. I mean, those two teams just, they look like they were night and day completely different. I wonder if Houston winning tonight says, you know, Golden State, you need to take care of business. You can't keep playing all these extra games. I'm worried. I wouldn't take the points, but I think I'm going to pass.
All right, Sleepy. You're always wise with what to do and sometimes what not to do. You know, there's a little event on TV Thursday night, and we're all going to be watching. And every now and then, you know, an NFL franchise, a front office, a head coach, they have a chance to reinvent the future with a transcendent prospect. Will this team do it? Up next,
a 10-year NFL veteran wide receiver, Mike Pritchard. He's going to join us to break it down. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas. Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Great news. There's a quick and easy way you can save money. Switch to Geico. It takes 15 minutes to see if you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you can save. Okay, let's welcome in a gentleman who was drafted in the first round of the 1991 NFL draft by the Atlanta Falcons. He was the 13th overall pick. He was in championship game MVP for Colorado as they beat Notre Dame to win it all in 1990. And he's currently with 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Let's say hello to our good buddy Mike Pritchard. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bernie. How are you?
Good. Thanks for staying up late, Mike. I really appreciate it. I want to dive right into this Kyler Murray thing because I can't think of anybody more qualified to talk about him. You caught touchdown passes from Brett Favre, John Elway, Chris Miller. Let's just assume for purposes of this conversation, Murray's going number one. He's currently minus 1,000. That's a prohibitive favorite to be so. So I have question 1A and question 1B. First of all, is it possible that if Arizona under Cliff Kingsbury drafts Kyler Murray, they have a chance to reinvent the future, much the way Bill Walsh did in 81 with Joe Montana and that offense, the West Coast offense? And you brought up a great point on the phone the other day. Arizona will probably have other motivations for also wanting to draft Kyler Murray from a marketing standpoint. Talk about those two things.
Well, Bernie, I mean, Arizona is a franchise that has no pop, no shine. You know, their fan base don't have really anything to look forward to from year to year. And outside of Fitz, you know, that's about it. So you bring in a new coach in Kingsbury, and for his offense, I mean, he's trying to make a splash. He's trying to make a name for himself. But then also, I think that franchise is trying to excite their base. And what better way than to bring in the Heisman Trophy winner, which is Kyler Murray? I mean, he's a fit. Kingsbury's known him since he was a kid, really, high school and everything else. And it's a total fit. And also, it fills a need to sell jerseys, a need to sell tickets, and a need to get excited about the Arizona Cardinals again.
Mike, there's about five categories, given my years covering the Lions, that I look at quarterbacks: arm strength, competitiveness, aptitude, mobility, release, and vision. But I want to start with height and weight because you brought up an excellent point the other day on the phone about how why his size and why his weight over the long term could be problematic.
Yeah, you know, people bring up Doug Flutie a little bit or Russell Wilson a little bit when they talk about Kyler Murray. I've even heard he's as elusive as Barry Sanders, which made me kind of fall out of my seat, you know, when I hear stuff like that. Kyler Murray, he can play quarterback. There's no doubt about that. He can play quarterback in the National Football League even. I mean, being under center, being barely 5'10", I don't think that's a hindrance. He's around a 200-pound guy. And the thing about a quarterback that small is when he really gets hit, because he hasn't been hit yet. I mean, he played college football. He's running around, dancing around. Nobody's touching him. You might as well put flags on him. But in the National Football League, you have athletes and players that Kyler Murray has never seen before. Only 1 year in college. And so running around like that and dancing around like that, he's going to run into like a Von Miller or a Khalil Mack, and that's not going to be kind to Kyler Murray. So I think he can play, and I think he feels a need in terms of having that hype and splash for a franchise, but I just don't know if he's going to play past 5 years. And for me, if I'm drafting a guy number one overall, I mean, I at least I need to have some assurances that he's going to last past 5 years.
Mike, let's have kind of a lightning round of bullet points. Break him down from what you've seen. Arm strength, how does he stack up in your eye?
Well, he's got a live arm. You know, a lot of quarterbacks do, though. I mean, Dwayne Haskins got a big arm. All these guys have big arms. And that's the thing. When you think about quarterbacks, they've been throwing the football and passing camps ever since high school. So a lot of these quarterbacks have live arms and strong arms.
Mike, talk about aptitude. He's going to have to learn blocking schemes, wide receiver routes, the ability to make pre-snap reads. From what you've seen, how long do you think it'll take to him for him to acclimate?
Well, one of the things that concerns me about Kyler Murray is that he does believe in his arm, and he's late with the football deep down the field, and he can get away with that in college. And one of the things when you have Brown and people like that that can run behind defenders in college, you can hold the ball, and plus you're not getting rushed like you are at Oklahoma in the Big 12. I mean, nobody's really pressuring a quarterback out there in that conference, but you know, it's all going to change once he gets to the National Football League, and you see a lot of movement, a lot of disguising coverages, and then the speed of the game and the speed of the player. He can't be late throwing a ball vertically down the field. I think in tighter windows, I haven't seen him really throw the ball in tighter windows. His ball placement is decent, but just like any other player that's entering the National Football League, a rookie, he'll work on those things. Like I said, Bernie, I think he can play. I'm not going to discount his talent, but I just don't know how long he can play in the National Football League.
We're talking with Mike Pritchard, 10-year NFL veteran, wide receiver, 13th player picked in the 1991 draft by the Atlanta Falcons, knows a thing or two about expectations as a first-round draft choice. Mike, you brought up a great point about the athleticism and speed in the NFL. Let's talk about Murray's mobility. He does have that make-you-miss first step. But he's not Barry Sanders. I covered Barry Sanders. That's not a slight. But does it translate to the NFL? Because you mentioned being late. If he's got to elude a crashing defensive end, is his vision downfield suffer for that because he's not used to it?
Well, I think so. You know, you take a guy like Michael Vick, who was also elusive in the pocket, but then he got hit. And then he lost all that ability. You know, look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a specimen. Cam Newton, at number one overall pick, I mean, MVP, he got hit. And then look at Cam Newton. He's on his second shoulder surgery. The great Randall Cunningham, a good friend of mine, he got banged up. The thing about what people don't realize is, Bernie, is that quarterback position is a tough position. And, you know, when you're watching guys take a needle to the rib cage because they need to numb an area or their shoulder is wrecked, but yet they find a way to get themselves together just to go out there and perform, all those hits add up. And you know, Kyler Murray, he just has not been hit like that. And that's what I'm saying. I think, yeah, he's going to be fantastic. Year one, year two, he's going to make people miss. He's going to run around and create a lot of highlights. But year three, year four, year five, when, I don't know, he's got a knee brace on. Or, you know, year five, you know, he's got a few broken ribs and his shoulder, broken clavicle, kind of like Aaron Rodgers a couple times. So once that starts to happen, I just don't know if that frame's going to be able to hold up. So that's my concern. But, you know, if you're Arizona, I don't know if you're worried about that because you just need to bring some excitement back to your franchise.
Now, Mike, you're always complimentary and you're a glass-half-full guy. We're wrapping up with Mike Pritchard, 10-year NFL vet. Mike, if you're a wide receiver, veteran wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, and Kyler Murray's coming to town and he's the guy they're going to be throwing the ball to you to make your living, how do you feel about that?
Well, anything I help at this point, Bernie. You know, if you're Arizona, the year that you had last year with Rosen, I mean, I kind of feel sorry for Rosen a little bit that they're just going to move on already after 1 year, but that's the life of the National Football League. It's what are you going to do for me? And, you know, it's not what have you done for me, what are you going to do for me? And I think Kyler Murray has a chance to bring some hype and some energy to that franchise. I mean, as a receiver, I guess he'll be a distraction. You know, I'm not expecting a circus or anything like that, but I would try to help him along, try to help him adjust, and see if we can win some football games.
Mike, I really wish we had more time. I'm sorry. Let's do it again as we get closer to the NFL season, but a lot of great points. I really appreciate you joining us tonight, Mike.
That sounds good. Anytime, Bernie.
Thanks a lot. It's Mike Pritchard, 10-year NFL vet. MVP of the championship game for Colorado as they beat Notre Dame in 1990. Currently with 104.3, the Fan in Denver. Believe me, he knows his way around the gridiron. Speaking of that, there's a draft Thursday, and there's all kinds of fun ways you can bet it. Yeah, we're going to share a lot of that with you and give you two or three areas where we think we'd put our money down. But first, let's go to the Dulcet Tones of Brian Finley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. Saturday night, NBA playoff action. James Harden, 0 for 15 to start from the field shooting, finished 3 for 20, still scored 22 points, and the Jazz still found a way to lose, 104-101 to the Rockets. Donovan Mitchell, 34 points, 9 of 27 shooting, so he actually missed more shots than Harden in this game. By the way, Harden told a postgame reporter he had no idea he had missed his first 15 shots. Elsewhere on Saturday, Joel Embiid, back from a sore knee, shined with 31 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, and 6 blocks. In the 76ers, 112-108 W against the Nets. Philadelphia gains a 3-1 lead. The Nuggets winners on the road against the Spurs. Yeah, it actually happened. 117-103. That series is tied at 1. In Denver, picking up its first win in San Antonio since 2012. San Antonio coach Greg Popovich reacted to the outcome with, quote, "The Nuggets competed and we did not." Well, that's some great insight there. The Bucks, meanwhile, go up 3-0 after beating the Pistons, 119-103. Milwaukee had 7 players score in double figures. Blake Griffin, returning from a knee injury, dropped 27 points in the loss. And according to The Athletic, Clippers general manager Michael Winger says no thanks to the Wolves, who have reached out to him about their president of basketball operations opening. Hey, great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how you could save. Now back to Bernie Fratto.
Hey, Brian, quick question. You're the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. Yes or no? You drafting Kyler Murray number one?
I'm going with a hell no. First of all, I think Kyler Murray is a system quarterback, and there are some suspicions about his leadership qualities. I didn't like how he handled himself in that Dan Patrick interview, you know, a couple months back. And look, I do some work at UCLA, so I've had a chance to look at Josh Rosen and what he's done. He had a horrible offensive line around him last year. And how do you pick a guy in the first round and then the next year at quarterback get another first rounder? It makes no sense. Josh Rosen has the best arm. He just needs protection. I think it would be a bad decision.
Good stuff. Brian Finley, is there any way we can get you to come out of your shell? All right. Ryan Bershinger, famous movie star. Check him out. You get the same question, buddy.
All right. All right. I would, because I think that Kyler's ceiling is so high that if you capitalize on that, if he reaches that potential, it takes your franchise to a whole nother level. So I would take Kyler Murray number one.
Yeah, it's a calculated risk, and of course, it's one. Thanks, guys. Excellent input by both of you. Sleepy and I talked about this a lot off air. Kyler Murray right now is prohibitive favorite to be the number one pick. It's not one of the draft props we're going to talk about, but I've got three I really like, Sleepy, and I'll give them to you in order of my favorite to least favorite. And the first one is defensive player selected in the first round. The over-under is 16.5. Currently, the price is minus 150. Not terrible. Let's face it. This draft is loaded with defensive players, especially defensive linemen. There could be as many as 10 defensive linemen picked in the first round. Plus, there's a load of linebackers, defensive backs. I think, first of all, there are 32 teams, 16.5. You only have to be one more than half. And I think a lot of teams are going defense. And I think it gets over that number pretty easily. All right, the second prop that I like, number of Alabama players selected in round one. Currently, the over-under is 2.5. I don't know how you select half a player, but I'm not that smart. Here's the bottom line. Minus 160, again, I like the over. Here's why. Bama always has a bunch of NFL players that are locks to be in the first round. You've got Quinnen Williams. He's a top 10 pick. So there's one. Jonah Williams, I think he'll be mid to late first round. I think they're both locks. Here's where it gets a little dicey. They've got a running back, Josh Jacobs. Some scouts have him projected as a first round. I'm told that Philly's very interested. Kansas City's very interested. And how about their tight end? There's a real demand for tight ends. Irv Smith Jr. But he'll probably fall to the second round. So, again, I lean to the over. 2.5 Alabama picks in the first round, more than 2.5 Alabama players selected. We shall see what happens. Now, the third pick, and I'm not as fired up about this, but I think it's worth a look, the number of wide receivers drafted in the first round, over 2.5. Look, In case you haven't noticed, the NFL is no longer 3 yards in a cloud of dust. All the rules favor and protect the passing game. In fact, it's become basketball on turf. You put guys in space to make plays. They make plays. They change games. So to say the NFL is a pass-happy league, that's an understatement. Well, in order to execute, you need players that can catch the ball, that can run good routes, catch the ball, and run after the catch. And there's quite a few good wide receivers in this class. You start out with DK Metcalf, who's lightning from Ole Miss. He's an athletic freak. He's not only got the speed, he's got the size to be an absolute game changer. He's going in the first round. There's a couple of other players that I think will go in the first round, which will put it over. Paris Campbell from Ohio State. He's fantastic, and he lit it up at the combine. And Kiel Harry from Arizona State, who sat out the bowl game. He's going to be a first-round pick, I believe. Marquise Brown, what do all three have in common? They're game-breakers. They're game-changers, Sleepy. They're the type of guys that can take it to the house from anywhere on the field. So I've just named four guys that I believe will be drafted in the first round. If just three of the four are, you go over.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take Drew Lock here. Let me give out.
Quarterback from Missouri.
Yeah, yep. Let me give one of my best plays out. You can take him right now over 10.5. I think that's where he's going to land. I think he's going to land in like the 11 to 15 area. I don't see him going before that. So I'm going to take Drew Lock over the 10.5, Bernie.
Well, and that speaks to another prop that I took a hard look at, whether or not under 3.5 quarterbacks would be selected. We're going to pass on that right now. But Locke from Missouri is climbing on draft boards. Mm-hmm. So good call on him, Sleepy. He could very well be a guy who is drafted in the first round, of course, along with probably Dwayne Haskins and certainly Kyler Murray. We are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. So go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, well, figuring out which way is easier. If you thought betting on Tiger was over, you know what's crazy, Sleepy? Tiger hasn't won a major in almost a week now.
Wow.
Well, there's all kinds of ways to bet Tiger, not just now and not just for the next tournament and the rest of this year, but for the next 6 years. You're going to want to hear why and how and our thoughts on that. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Out of Vegas. We are back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And I want to remind you that Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Discover alerts you if they find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. Tiger mania continues with a roar, pun intended. Now, perception is reality. And as such, see, that's drawing a lot of attention to Tiger from a performance standpoint, but also an opportunity standpoint for bettors looking to take advantage of his resurgence. But see, there's a lot of questions, because remember, past performance does not always guarantee future success. In this cut, Fezzik and Brad Powers weigh in on the probability of Tiger winning more majors this season. Let's have a listen.
So, RJ, what is Vegas saying about Tiger's future?
Yeah, it's a lot of optimism now. So we did the research, pregame.com, and we talked about this. If you took the last two majors before the Masters, Tiger Woods had the best score. He didn't win either of the tournaments, but he had the best combined score. And our thinking is 8 rounds instead of 4, 2 courses instead of 1. If you want to have an indication of who's golfing the best, 2 majors are a pretty good cross-section. Tiger number 1 in the world before winning this weekend on Sunday. Now you add up 3 majors, Tiger number 1 by 3 strokes over anyone in the world. So it kind of makes sense that he's going to be favored, and he's favored in the PGA already. And boy, did the book so take a beating. I mean, I'm personally happy. I don't like bookies. I just know the way they act as bookies.
Cockroaches.
Cockroaches, yeah.
True enough. And they're all crying. As I look at this, there's a lot of questions that jump out at you. So one is, will Tiger Woods win another major? So over under a half. If he doesn't win another one, under wins. If he wins one more, over wins. Brad, there's a betting market for this right now. What number did you say?
Minus 180 is the yes. Tiger Woods will win at least one more major.
All right, so you got to bet 180 to win 100. So you're saying like 63%, Fez?
Yes.
Now, you've got a different number.
I do. I think it's much more likely. I have Tiger with a 75% chance to win a major, so I think that number is light there.
All right, so you say minus 300. This other sports book, where was that at?
Westgate.
Westgate had minus 180. Well, you know how it is here, Fez. Whenever you make a statement, Brad, you want to jump on?
No.
Anyone? Why? Because you cry when Tiger wins?
No.
You want to bet against him?
No.
That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas.
Well, there is a betting market for this prop. And here at the Westgate, like the guy said, our good buddy Jay Cornegay, he has seized upon this prospect. And this week, they published some enticing opportunities to back Tiger Woods, not only this year, but for the next 6 years. Hang on, I'll explain. So, Sleepy, the guy's talked about winning another major. And yes, it's minus 180. You can also bet that Tiger sticks with one major. He won exactly one major this year, which means he wins no more majors. Wins one more, wins two more, or wins the Grand Slam. Do any of those jump at you where you'd fire?
I personally like the minus 180. He'll win one more, so at least I have three opportunities to go ahead and cash that ticket.
And you can also get plus 150 that he won't.
I like Tiger.
Look, you nailed it last week, Sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that in our best bet segment. You also, I lost the pizza bet. You not only thought Tiger was live to win this thing, got him at 14-1, but when we give out our best bets, you talked about the head-to-head match at day four, Tiger versus Molinari. Tiger was minus 160. Oh, by the way, that cash. So if you're scoring at home, Tiger to win exactly one major, if you think he's stuck on one, and that's all he's going to win this year, it's 70-20, 7-2, which means, or 2-7, which means you'd have to put up $7 to win two. But to win one more, $20 will bring you back 50, 2-5, 200, 500, you get the picture. If you think he's hot and he's going to win two more, you put up $20, that'll bring back 400. You put up 100, that'll bring you back 2,000. Now, if you're really feeling saucy and you think he's going to win all four, by the way, if he did that, he'd catch Jack. $20, we have to have some denomination here so you could relate to this. $20 would bring back $3,000. So you've got the Masters, which he's already won, the PGA, they're doing it backwards this year. The PGA is in June. Then the U.S. Open, and then the Open Championship overseas at a course they haven't played in since 1954. But Sleepy, you brought up a good point off air. The PGA and the U.S. Open both being played at courses that Tiger's had success at.
And I think that's a big advantage for him this year. And you have to wonder, Bernie, does he go to these courses during his off time to go ahead and get you really comfortable with these places again?
Bethpage Black and, of course, Pebble Beach, where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
Look, anything can happen, as was seen, but we'll be talking about this a lot more in the coming weeks. Now, the next 6 years. See, on December 30th, 2025, Tiger turns 50. He's eligible to join the Champions Tour. I don't think he will. But if you want to tie up your money for 6 years, if you're betting that Tiger is stuck on, 15 majors, you get plus 150. If you think he gets over 15, you lay 180. If you think he gets over 16, you're getting plus 250. If you think he gets over 17, plus 500. If you think he gets to the 19th major and passes Jack, plus 1,000. So it's up to you, but you're tying up your money for 6 years.
Yeah. How about we get into best bet tomorrow, Bernie, NHL? You ready?
It's always our favorite part of the show. Sleepy, why don't you start us off?
All right, I'm going to go ahead. Best bet tomorrow, Vegas Golden Knights on the puck line, -1.5, +160. Bernie, this series hasn't been decided by one goal. Every game, wide margin, 5-2, 5-3. I think the Golden Knights are going to have a lead tomorrow. So, Sharks are going to pull the goalie a little early. Empty netter if I need it. I like the Golden Knights on the puck line, -1.5, +160.
I'm on the same game, Sleepy. The under. I like the under tomorrow, 6 goals. Martin Jones, 2.94 goals per average. Fleury's going to be sensational. Both teams are going to forecheck. They're going to clog the neutral zone. I like the under. This game's got 3-1 written all over it. Before I do anything else, I want to thank my broadcast team, Ryan Bershinger, Iowa Sam, Brian Finley, and, of course, Sleepy J, and the new member of the team, Chris. Great team. Love your professionalism and dedication, guys. Could not do this show without you. Okay, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto. Now, next up, you know, Khabib, he once wrestled a bear. But this dude, he not only wrestled the bear, he pinned the bear. Yep, you heard me right. He's the pride of Nashville, the pride of the Music City. That would be Jason Martin. So don't go anywhere. It's time for the Jason Martin Show. Good luck with all your bets tomorrow, folks. Have fun. We'll see you next Saturday, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas!